Is it ever really too early to start scouting? We don't think so.
I saw him in a couple of my other leagues. He went in the first round, and yeah, you're just looking at someone that you immediately cut. I mean, I would hold him if you had the roster spot just to see.
I know they run, you know, probably 500 offensive snaps a season, but holy cow, I mean, that just would kill his value in my mind, at least for the, you know, for the next 2 years.
This is the Devy Hour.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Thursday night. The Devy Hour has returned from a long hiatus. We do appreciate y'all hanging out with us, but it's going to look a little different tonight. We have the most dynamic duo in Devy content here tonight, and I am joined by one of the newest members of Roto Heat, probably one of the better Devy guys that I know at this point, because I've spent some time listening to him and talking to him and reading his content on rotoheat.com, and it's banger content. So if you get time, hit rotoheat.com and check out Desi's content. Welcome, my friend. I appreciate you joining me and coming on the Roto Heat team. With that being said, first, how are you, my friend? And then tell people who you are, where they can find you, and what you're all about.
What's up, man? I appreciate it, Brad. Yeah, new to the team. Des Deuce. I go by Des, but Des Deuce on Twitter, DezDeuce. Just really excited to be a part of the team now, man. I hit you up on Twitter and we chopped it up and talked over some things, and you guys were trying to build some things over there with the Roto Heat team, and I'm really excited about this. But yeah, man, I'm just doing some things right now, just working on some new stuff, of course, for the Roto Heat guys, for the team and everything, doing rankings and stuff like that. And I also work with Brandon Lejeune and the rest of the Devy Dashboard content team, doing some C2C stuff and some rookie rankings and things like that. But really excited to be here to talk about some Devy stuff today, man. I love Devy. Been experiencing or been a part of the Devy platform for a few years now, as far as playing in a few leagues. Of course, I've been playing fantasy football for over 10 plus years. We all have our redraft leagues that we love. So that's where I started off from, but then eventually ventured off into the dynasty world. And then you hear things about Devy and scouting college players, and you're putting them on spreadsheets and they transfer to your dynasty roster, your NFL rosters. And I'm like, what is this? What is this new situation here where I can actually get guys earlier than these rookie drafts and they can actually be on my team? So that's pretty exciting, and I love college football, getting back started with college football. So let's do this, man. I'm excited for this talk tonight and going over some guys.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you aboard. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome talking to you every week, talking ball and just chopping it up. And it'll be fun helping people get to know and get to understand Devy, because that's part of what my goal is with doing the IDP and doing the Devy shows through the offseason, is get people fired up about other kinds of fantasy football, because I love fantasy football, but you can make it so much more of a challenge by adding all these other things. People are into the Superflex and the tight end premium, but when you're adding in grabbing these kids in college or grabbing these defensive players in the NFL, like it adds that extra level of complexity that I think makes it challenging and makes it fun. I've won plenty of leagues in the last few years that have had these other crazy forms, and it makes it a challenge, and I like that. I want to be challenged when it comes to stuff like this. Welcome aboard, everybody that's hanging out in the chat. If you guys have questions, drop them. We'll get them later in the show. With that being said, though, if you want to check out the rankings that Des and I and Craig have been working hard on, rotoheat.com. I'm going to pop them up on the screen as we talk about these guys so that you can see where we have them as a consensus, but you can go over there. You can filter. If you think Des is the man and I'm crazy and you want to only see his rankings, you can filter them by him, or maybe you think Craig's the man and you want to filter him. You can do any of that. So over at rotoheat.com has got it. We are in the midst of spring ball, so college is working and getting. We got plenty of guys that are doing their thing, so let's get into it. I want to pop up our rankings here. So rotoheat.com, you can see our Devy rankings. With that being said, the first guy, the consensus one, there's only two guys on this list that we all agreed were in the top two. That's Bijan Robinson, running back from Texas. So, Des, I'll give you the first shot on him. Tell me what you love about him, why he's number one. It probably is going to be things that I would already have said as well. So I will give you the floor. You tell the people why they should want him as their top pick in Devy.
Thank you for giving me the floor to at least get my guy Bijan. I love Bijan, man. He was one of the guys when I first got into Devy that I heard. He was one of the first names that was out there, where it was this phenomenal running back that had the size, this the weight, the speed to run in between the tackles. He can run outside tackles. He had the speed to break big time plays. He can catch the ball. And when I actually finally got to actually watch Bijan play, I was just extremely excited. I don't think I've been truly excited about a running back in probably a few years, to be honest. I would have to go back to maybe Saquon or anything like that. Jonathan Taylor, I was really excited about him coming out. But with that being said, Bijan should be, once he comes out next year in the 23 draft, he's going to be definitely one of those top running back dynasty assets. And you should definitely, if you're in a startup, you should definitely want Bijan Robinson on your team.
The cool thing about Robinson, and Texas has been a bit of a down team over the last probably 10 plus years. Like, they just haven't produced a ton of high-end NFL talent on the fantasy side of things. But Bijan's going to change that. As long as he stays healthy, he's got the power, the vision, the size that you want. I don't often anymore say a guy is a three-down back because the NFL just doesn't do that. You have, what, two? JT and Derrick Henry was before the injury. I think that Bijan kind of profiles as that. Because you've seen him do it all. He can score from anywhere on the field. He's physical. When you're thinking about where he's going to fall, like, he's one of those guys that I could say comfortably that if a team drafted in the first round of the NFL draft, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised. And we don't see a lot of running backs go in the first round. Bijan's that kind of guy, which is why I think that he has to be somebody's top pick in Devy. If he's available and in your Devy drafts, you haven't drafted him yet, he better be on your team because that guy is just that good. My question to you, though, is in your Devy drafts, where do you see him go? Have you had him drafted yet? Is he, and where would you want people to take him? So let's just say standard kind of one QB situation, then we'll say super flex. In a one QB situation, is he your 1-1 overall? Like, you're taking him above any other guy who's going to come out even in this draft or next year, things like that. And then it's super flex Devy. Where would you?
He would be my 1-1 in both. We're just going to nip it in the butt right there. Because, I mean, one QB definitely, just Bijan, he's just that good. He's one of those guys. I get it. Breece Hall and we have the running backs that's coming out this year. Of course, you have the quarterbacks and stuff like that. But and even next year, the 23 class, everybody's pretty excited about that class anyways with a lot of the prospects that's coming out. But Bijan is definitely, he's that guy. He would be my 1-1 in both formats. Super flex, you can argue if you wanted to have somebody else in it, but please tell me who, because it has to be definitely Bijan. He's just that good. I'm sorry, I've seen enough. I think he's just that dynamic. He's that big of a playmaker. Whenever he gets the ball in his hands, and you want that in a running back. Running backs are really hard to find in Dynasty, to be honest, when you have someone that could be a workhorse back. And just like you just said, it's hard to say about three down backs anymore. And you're going to get that out of Bijan, and barring any kind of crazy injuries or anything. And I know he got injured last year and it derailed his season and things like that. So we hopefully that's not a trend, but I don't think so. He's that good.
And when you look at like PFF, when you look at how he grades out amazingly as a runner. I think he was, outside of guys that are actually going to get drafted this year, I think he is top six or seven when it comes to run grading in PFF. His pass receiving grading is a little lower than you'd like to see. But I think, like you said, due to the shortened season for him, I think that would be a little different. I didn't see any issues. When you watch him as a receiver, I didn't see any issues with him in the hands. There was, he didn't bobble the ball around. He didn't get targeted a huge amount, but I don't see any issues with him. So I completely agree. He's 1-1 overall in a one QB. Superflex, it's tough because the 23 class has some really interesting guys coming out. I would pencil him in as the 1-1 just because I feel best about his long-term value in Superflex. That the only thing that I would question there is quarterbacks. So it's hard to say for certain that there won't be a quarterback that shouldn't be taken as the top pick in there, but Bijan's just such a safe pick. Him and number two, Travion Henderson from running back Ohio State, both these guys feel extremely safe. And when I'm drafting my Devy roster, I'm looking for safe guys. I made the mistake of picking George Pickens high, and the dude keeps getting hurt. Now I feel like I'm going to have to either dump him or let him sit on my roster and hope that something happens. So I want to pick guys that I feel safe with, and these two guys feel that way. So what do you like? I guess what would cause you to have Henderson as number two instead of – what would cause you to put Henderson at one and Bijan at two? What do you like about Henderson? And then is there any wiggle room? Would you consider flipping them?
That's tough. because I do Travion Henderson too. He was definitely a running back. He's a freshman. He was a freshman last year, so he's a year younger than in his eligibility and everything. So that's hard for me, especially when I think about Devy, because I really want to get top guys on my dynasty NFL roster as soon as possible. So that's why I may not put Travion over Bijan, but Travion, I wouldn't argue if anybody had him over Bijan, though, to be honest, because he forced his hand last year to really be on the field for Ohio State. And for a prestigious program like that, where they're getting top talent year in and year out, they had Mayan Williams and I want to say, what's his name, Master Teague. He was there. And Travion just made his way on the field. Every time he got the ball in his hands, he was making a big play. He looked dynamic. He looked like he had the speed. He could, and just like I said about Bijan, looked like he could run inside. He could run outside. He's a tough runner, but he's just a year younger. That's the only knock I would have to say, to be honest with you, because it will be almost splitting hairs if he was coming out in the 23 class, because he's probably just as good as Bijan. He'll have to, you know, prove another year of some production, but he's coming. I mean, he's definitely going to show that he should be the top back in the 24 class.
Yeah, the thing that intrigues me about Henderson, and the one thing that would make me consider flip-flopping them, is the pass catching for him. When you look at like the snap breakdown for Henderson last year, you're absolutely right. Like, he is so good that he made Ohio State put him on the field. You couldn't keep him on the sidelines because he was just the most dynamic runner. The vision, the burst, like, you watch that kid jump cut. I was afraid ankles were going to break. Yeah, he's just so fluid. But yeah. Then when you look at a snap breakdown, he had like over 300 passing snaps. So they were putting him on the field in passing situations, man. And that's just dangerous when you do things like that in fantasy, because those receptions for a running back, that's what gets you excited when you're drafting running backs. When you know that they're a good runner, and he graded out very high as a runner, was in the 80s. When you look at if PFF is something that you subscribe to, in college, I tend to mash it all together. And I use PFF as a part of the equation, but I use PFF more so to see snap breakdowns, see where they put him in the formation. And they were moving him all over. Now, they used him a little bit in the slot. They used him a little bit further out. I think he only had 10 or less snaps further outside of the formation, but that's intriguing to me. Now, I would lean with you on the leaving Bijan at one and Henderson at two, just because Henderson is got another year. And nowadays he'll be out in 2 years. Like, he's not going to stay all 4 years. Players just don't do that anymore because they want to cash in. And especially as a running back, and you got to cash in because that shelf life just ain't very long. Okay. And I just wanted to throw a curveball and see if there was anything that would make you go, you know what? I'd put Travion at one. I figured I'd see if I could get you a slip on your rankings, but
no, well done.
You were firm.
Look, just like I said, I wouldn't argue if anybody put Travion at one. I really do. I have a few shares of Travion on a few Devy and like C2C rosters. So it's not that I don't like him. He's really good. I just, when it comes to Devy, I want someone to actually get to my NFL roster as soon as possible. The value is better to me. Even if you didn't actually want that person on or that player on your roster, you can also use it for trade value and things like that. So it's always good for that. So that's why I like that. They're not doing anything on your Devy roster, but just sitting there chilling until they get to the NFL. I want to maximize value of the guys I have on there.
Yeah. And it's smart to do that. I have leagues where I think all my leagues, you can trade your Devys after you draft them. And I like that, because if I'm starting to realize that this guy maybe was a bad choice on mine, I can try to flip him, move them, get somebody to replace them or whatever. And I like that, but you got to get your guys to the league quick so you can start seeing that return. Because like in the Pinnacle League, I was telling you about pre-show, you know, I've got guys on my roster that ain't going to make it to the NFL, if at all, because high schoolers, we still got 5 years. So I've got guys that are going to be sitting on the roster forever. And for at least it feels like it. You're absolutely right. That's one of the biggest things in Devy's. You want to get these guys in quick. I had a league last year when we drafted in the last round of my Devy picks. I picked Phil Jurkovic from Boston College. I was like, I didn't have a lot of quarterbacks sitting on my Devy squad. And somebody said, are you crazy? Why are you picking this kid from Boston College? I'm like, he's going to be draft eligible soon. And in some of these weaker draft classes, like if he gets drafted somewhere where he actually has a chance to maybe compete or a team sees something in him, that's a quick flip, and maybe I could turn them into something I want, and there's nothing else there that I could grab. So you got to find guys that have a chance that can get to the league. Because in the end, I mean, we say it on plenty of shows, we only know about half as much as we think we know, and none of us are paid scouts. Like, this is all our eye test and what we look up. So if they can get to the league quicker and you can get some return on that investment, you got to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Kayshon Booty. So this is the first wide receiver, and hopefully I didn't mess up your name, Kayshon. Every time I see it, I think Booty, but I've never actually heard anyone say his name. I have only watched LSU tape on mute because, man, LSU's been hard to watch over the last year and a half. But I watch it because I want to see this guy. Like, this dude is – I'm very excited about his – he reminds me of – he gives me the Diggs vibes when it comes to his ability to be a big play threat and be able to do, you know, just about anything. When you watch the way they deploy him in the formation, you can line him inside, outside, and he can take it to the house. So I am a huge fan of him. I am at three. You have him at three. Craig has him at four. Y'all have to ask Craig over on Discord or somewhere else why he's ranking him lower than us. But, Des, what do you like about Kayshon, and what made you put him up this high in your rankings?
Just like Bijan, Kayshon Boutte, however you say his last name, he is a very exciting player. He's one of the when he got hurt last year, I was pretty disappointed because – just like you said, I don't watch too many LSU games. I try to get in it, get a lot of college football in as much as I can. But he was one of those guys that if I was checking like box scores or seeing any highlights, he was one of the ones I was checking for every week because I just really like the way he plays. Just like you said, you can line him up inside, outside. He's a big play waiting to happen anytime he gets the ball in his hands. And he just was the big spark on that LSU team last year. They did have a few other guys that kind of did a little bit of things, but Kayshon, he's a monster, and he's my wide receiver one of 2023, to be honest. He would be up there if we had to rank the 2022 class and the 23 class. That's how much I like him, too. He would be up there because – and maybe I'm a little bit biased because I like Justin Jefferson. I like Ja'Marr Chase, and they are the most recent products of the LSU system. I know it's not the same coach staff and things like that, but the culture is, you know, probably still the same and things like that. So I'm going to go with that and say that Boutte is another good one that's going to be coming from LSU.
And a lot of times when I'm trying, especially some of these high-end guys, I try to find a comp or somebody in my mind that I think to help me project what I think the guy could be at the next level. And I said Diggs because this dude, like his toughness, I don't know there's a receiver in college that's as tough as this kid. And when you watch Diggs play, he's a very physical big play threat for Buffalo. And I agree with you, different coaching staff, but he looks the part of kind of the next great LSU receiver. And, you know, J-Jeff and Chase are pretty sweet. So if he's the next guy up, like, I'm not going to hate on that. He looks the part. Hopefully he bounces back. We've got a full season ahead for him. It looks like from everything I looked pre-show, it looks like he's on track to be ready to go. And there shouldn't be anything holding them back from getting in. And when LSU's tried to make some changes, they brought in some competition at the quarterback position to try to make this offense better. It could be a great time in your Devy drafts. If you haven't drafted him, or if you're in a newer Devy league and you're getting ready to draft, like, this would be a guy I would want to scoop up before people see him back on the field and see him healthy and he pops and you have to pay a premium to get him.
Yeah, he's a monster. I did see some reports earlier today, though, that it was something about it looks like he should be good to go, but I know they were saying that he might have had two surgeries. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but that's something to monitor and think about. But that's not gonna stop me from liking him. It's not gonna make him drop in my rankings or anything like that. He still has another year to get himself together, and it's more all about getting to your dynasty roster. Yeah, on Boutte.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, so we go. You and I have this guy at five, but Jason or Craig has him at three. Jaxon Smith-Njigba from Ohio State. I hate ranking Ohio State guys this high because go blue, but it's hard not to with this dude. This dude is so good. Talk about Jaxon Smith-Njigba. What do you think about him? What made you rank him so high? And what are the characteristics of this kid that you like so much?
With him, it was really just because I just seen him shine amongst other great players. You see it a lot of times where and we've seen it after the end of the season with a lot of the players going to the transfer portal and things like that. But he was in a wide receiver room where it was Garrett Wilson and Olave and even Jamison Williams at one point in time. Just to have that and to stick and stay and still show out and prove that he's a solid route runner. He has good hands, good speed. It looks like he has a really good rapport with CJ Stroud towards the end, you could definitely see that if he wasn't putting up a lot of touchdowns, he was definitely getting a lot of yards after catch. He was getting a lot of catches and things like that. And almost maybe like almost made Olave look like he didn't actually need to actually play or be there. But even though Olave was just as good and did his thing this past year. And of course, we all know how phenomenal Garrett Wilson was and things like that. And then, of course, the bowl game was his coming out party. Both of those guys were not there. They were not playing. They opted out to get ready for the draft. I'm talking about Olave and Wilson. Yeah, and he just went in and just literally just looked unstoppable. I couldn't believe how good of a performance he put on in the spotlight with everybody watching. He really put himself on notice to be considered for the wide receiver one of the 23 class. I mean, that's huge because how much I feel about Kayshon Boutte. But JSN, he's a monster. He definitely could come out next year and solidify himself as one of the top receivers in. I wouldn't look back. I'm definitely trying to get him everywhere if I can, because I just think he has the talent to translate to the league. He can play inside and outside. I think so. I mean, he runs every route, so he's a beast.
That's the one thing that would make me think he might be able to get above Kayshon is that route running ability. Like, that dude is so smooth in and out of his breaks. When you watched him, you would think because Olave and Wilson are on the field all the time getting those reps, that maybe Njigbo would maybe be a little slower or maybe behind the ball a little bit because maybe they just don't get the reps in. But he looks fluid. He looked on point with Stroud. Everything you were saying is exactly right. And then as I prepped for the show, I looked at my notes and then I went over to PFF to look and see where they put him at. And I didn't realize it, but he actually was graded out as the second best receiver in college last year. Sky more than him when you look at the receiving grades. And I was like, dang, I didn't see that coming. And he may not be the biggest guy, but he's got good size. He's 6 foot, probably between 6 and 6'1". He's right around 200 pounds. I mean, like, everything about this kid is getting pro ready. And he's one of those guys that I could see step right into an offense and be the 1A, 1B receiver to somebody else. The thing that I worry about is the league's getting so packed with really talented receivers that at some point, some of these guys are going to have to work their way into playing time. And I just don't know how soon that's going to happen. But we're seeing a trend where there's so many good receivers. Look at this draft class. We're talking about 10, 15, 20-ish receivers that are more than capable of stepping onto a team and being fighting for playing time and being valuable pieces of an offense. Like, hey, like, we only got 32 teams and they only deploy in 3-4-ish receivers. At some point, you know, where's the drop-off? But Jaxon Smith, Kayshon, both these guys, probably our top 3 or 4 receivers on our rankings are guys that I could see stepping in and competing for a team's number one receiver spot.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So next up, we go back to we ain't even hit a quarterback yet. All right. Number 5 on our list, Jahmyr Gibbs, running back from Georgia Tech. This one I seem to be the lowest on. And once I saw our rankings, I had to go, all right, so what am I missing? Why am I so much lower than everybody else on this guy? So you have him ranked the highest. Tell me why I'm completely crazy and I need to change my rankings.
Just because Jahmyr Gibbs is a beast. He's another one that's a very dynamic and very interesting running back. He has the capabilities of being a three-down back. He was a part of the Georgia Tech system and was solid when he was a part of them. But also, I'm giving him that Bama bump. He transferred to Bama. The program, they're going to get him in the best positions possible to be successful. He would have never, ever transferred there if he didn't think that he was going to be able to maximize his situation. Because I honestly felt like he was already one of those kind of top running backs when he's at Georgia Tech. But this is going to potentially shoot him, how they say, to the moon. It's going to be one of those things just because I know he's capable of being a pass catching back. He's capable of running between the tackles. He has the ability to run, be a three down back. He's able to, I think, carry the load, maybe not have a big time load, but it could be dynamic enough that when the opportunity presents itself and you get the ball in his hands, he's going to be one of those guys that's going to make plays. In space, I think he's one of those guys that he's hard to tackle, and he's going to be a very interesting piece for that Bama offense. And I'm really excited to see him a part of that offense. So that's why I have him that high, because with that Bama bump, you always know with the NFL loves that. They love these Bama guys, and he's going to get that draft capital. And I just think that he's going to be one of those top running backs, and that's going to show a lot of people how good he is this next season coming up, to be honest.
Yeah, so he transferred to Bama, and I said, is he going to step right in and be the number one? They've got Trey Sanders. They got Jace McClellan. They got these guys that they've had in the system. So you're thinking he's transferring there because they're telling him, hey, you're going to come in and be our guy. And all three of these guys are juniors, so they all want to get ready, get to the league, get paid and whatnot. So you think he steps right in, he's the guy right now?
Absolutely. He's that good. Trey Sanders, you have Roydell Williams. And
oh, yeah, Roydell Williams.
You have Jace McClellan. They're all still there. You have the new guys, the freshmen, and then you even had Kamar Wheaton. I think he transferred out. So, honestly, I just think that's what it was. He wouldn't then why transfer there? I get it that you can't trust everybody and things like that, but I just think that Saban, and they're not going to go after Jahmyr Gibbs, and he's not going to go there unless he knows he's going to get the opportunity to be very dynamic and go out there and play. It could be a RB by committee, but I think Jahmyr is going to get the starting nod. I just think he's better than the rest of the running backs they have on their roster. I'm just sorry. He's going to be more dynamic for the offense, what they can do in that offense. Just having a pass catching back that's very dynamic like him. I can't remember them having one like that in a long time. Like, he can split out. He can go in the slot. He can go and go out wide and things like that. So he can be very sneaky for that offense. We'll see. You do have a great point, though. They do have a lot of running backs, especially the ones that's been there for a minute. And Saban, it has been one of those loyal guys. He rides his guys all the way to the end, and we'll see. But I just think he wouldn't have never transferred there if he wasn't ensured a great opportunity, especially with him wanting to go to the league. I'm pretty sure he's ready to make that jump into the league next year, so he would have never went there if he didn't think that he was going to get some kind of bump.
It was more playing devil's advocate. If
oh, I know.
Saban went out and grabbed this kid in the transfer portal. That tells me, I don't want to say it tells me everything I need to know about McClellan and Roynell and all these other guys, but like, it tells me that they need a dynamic back that can just be that, I don't want to say big play threat, but be that guy that they can lean on and trust in the big situations. I liked Gibbs coming out of high school. He went to Georgia Tech, and I went, wow, yeah. Georgia Tech doesn't really give me any warm fuzzies when it comes to producing NFL running backs. If you told me he was playing receiver, maybe. My boy Calvin Johnson was there, but right, that's a long time ago now. So going to Bama, I think, is a huge bump for him. I think you're absolutely right. This dude went to the perfect spot if he wants to show out. Bama's been up and down when it comes to their NFL running backs. Now I'll get drafted. Like, everybody loves grabbing a Bama back, but they don't always produce like you would expect them to be, as high as most of them have been drafted. Gibbs, I think, is different, though. Like, when you look at a lot of the running backs that Bama goes for, it's the big, powerful, physical guys. I mean, even think about most recent, Brian Robinson and some of these other dudes. But this guy, yes, he can be powerful, but this dude's electric. When you give him the ball, he could break ankles, take it to the house. And that's not something these other power backs that they tend to run with are. So it wouldn't surprise me if it was like an 80-20, like he was running the ball 80% of the time. And whether it was McClellan or whoever their power back becomes, whoever they peg as the power back, it wouldn't surprise me if something like that happened, because there are enough carries to go around. That's the crazy thing. This offense is always stacked with quality talent, a receiver, tight end, but they always find a ton of touches for the running backs. And I'm excited for him. I think Gibbs could be in the conversation as one of the top backs taken when he comes out, depending on if it's just 1 year at Bama and then goes to the league, or if he sticks around for two, who knows? But I think you're absolutely right. I was just trying to find a way to trip you up a little bit. I think I'm a little low on him for sure. He probably needs to bump up a little bit. And Timothy, I think you're spot on, dude. Running back by committee. And that's the thing. When I popped on the tape, I didn't see him pass blocking very often. But in Georgia Tech, the way that offense is built, I don't see the offensive lineman pass blocking. Georgia Tech's just a weird offense. It'll be interesting to see how they deploy these running backs. If he's not a pass blocker, he's going to be limited on his touches to, like I said, something like an 80-85% kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we actually get to a quarterback, and we're talking about Alabama, which is unfortunate because ain't nobody want to talk about Alabama. These guys, this team has been so good for so long, and it's sad because none of our teams can be Alabama. Like, I'm not an Alabama guy, unfortunately. I was Big Ten country all the way, and I hate watching Alabama just run through everybody. But they produce quality talent. So Tua's in the league, so we know a couple of quarterbacks here recently from Bama. Is Bryce Young the next Bama quarterback that makes it to the league and can become something? Like, what do you think about him?
He has the potential to. He's definitely showed, especially last year, he definitely showed that he was capable of playing in big spots. That's what I really liked about him, where he showed really good poise in big-time games, especially just jumping right in there to being the starter, following up other great quarterbacks. He played behind Mac Jones, and then, of course, you have the Tuas and things like that of the world. So he's one of those ones that he has a good arm. It looks like he has accuracy and things like that. There is some concern, though, with just maybe size. That would be the only thing I would have a knock on him right now. I just don't know if he's able to, going to be able to hold up within like the NFL as far as like the taking hits and things like that. He may need to put on a little bit more body weight or things like that. But as far as having the talent of throwing arm and a leadership, and I think he has the confidence and things like that to be a very good quarterback. I just think maybe his size and things like that maybe is not. But everybody can't be the perfect prototypical quarterback with size and all that, whatever. So you never know. Drew Brees was a really good quarterback. We have the Russell Wilsons that weren't all that, you know, big. Russell was a little bit more thicker, so I can't. That's a really bad comparison. But I'm just thinking about like height, and maybe he can put on a little bit of weight, and he can be a solid quarterback in the league. Right now, he is my QB1 of 23 class, just because he just showed at a big time program that he can be a big time guy. He won the Heisman last year. Of course, that's not anything to make anybody like a, oh, he's going to be the greatest in the NFL, because we know that a lot of Heisman winners, especially quarterbacks, aren't always good in the NFL. So with that being said, that kind of gives you a little bit of reserve. But I really like Bryce. Right. I think he's good.
Yeah, I think he showed out really well, especially under the pressure. It comes with a certain amount of pressure knowing every week you're getting, even when you're facing lesser competition, they're going to throw everything they can at you and try to take you out. And it shows a lot of poise for a guy like that, especially because chat's already talking about, we talked about the size isn't quite there. I would love for him to go to a place like Seattle that likes undersized scrambling quarterbacks, because he would fit right into their system. He's got a big enough arm. We saw it all season long. He could make some of them throws that we hadn't really necessarily seen in previous seasons from him. I don't really have any concerns about his ability to do those types of things. His throwing off balance, off base, not being completely set, looks pretty good. He definitely looks NFL ready. And at size, like, if he's only 5'11", some sites are reporting him at 5'11", some are saying 6 foot. Like, he's probably not getting much more than 210. 215, I would think. And that could be concerning. Quarterbacks take a beating throughout the season. So I don't know. I would have said 10 years ago that anybody under 6'2 is probably going to have a hard time in the NFL. And I was wrong. We've seen Drew Brees have a long career. Russell Wilson is a dominant quarterback. You know, I mean, like, if you're good enough, it doesn't really matter how big you are. We're learning that now. I mean, even look at Kyler. He's smaller than all them dudes, and he's so.
If you have an offense, and if you have a coach that's wanting to scheme to make you successful, you can do it. If you have the talent and with the scheme, I think it'll definitely translate. With him, with Bryce Young, he's definitely scary just because he's not big. So. If he's going to be a good player again, as he was last year, he's going to get drafted high, and he's going to go to a team that's probably not all that good, or may not be set to protect him and things like that. So he might take a beating, and it might be bad for him. So yeah, that's something to think about when you think about Bryce Young and grabbing him.
Absolutely. All right. So next up, Zachary Evans, running back, Ole Miss. I'm another low guy on him. Like, I seem to be running backs. I tend to be a little bit lower on, it seems like, outside of these top two. So what am I missing about Zachary Evans? Why am I just as crazy with Evans as I am Gibbs? Cause you got him higher than me by double. So what's so good about Zachary?
I don't, like, even with the Jahmyr Gibbs, and then even with this, I don't think you're crazy with your rankings, maybe a little too low, but just, I might be a little bit too high on Zachary Evans, to be honest with you, because when I was really preparing for this show, and you said we were going over. I was like, man, I've rated Zach Evans that high. But Zach Evans is good. He has some concerns and things like that just because of he was solid when he was at TCU as far as the production he put up. He showed flashes of being a solid running back. I want to say I did hear about some concerns about some off-field stuff with him. So that's a little shaky when you think about prospects and picking up guys, because you definitely don't want anybody that's going to be out here putting themselves in a bad situation where they're going to be suspended and things like that. But it is what it is. But with that being said, though, I think I bumped him up to 7 as far as in my rankings. It's just because of the team he transferred to. He transferred to Ole Miss. I like that offense. Mm-hmm. It's a very dynamic offense. It was last year with Matt Corral and Jonathan Mingo and things. And even in the past when they had the other studs that they have in the league right now. So with that being said, though, I just think that he's going to be a good, solid piece there. The running game in the previous years has been pretty solid, and I honestly think he's better than the running backs they had in previous years. So if they run in that same scheme, he should be productive, barring any kind of injury. So this is more or less like a hopeful kind of a ranking for him, because that's one of those things that could maybe bite me if it doesn't pan out, because he could be one of those ones that comes in and he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. And I think they have a really good freshman that came in, Quinshon Judkins. I can't really pronounce his name really good. And then I think somebody else just transferred there. I can't remember.
Ulysses Bennett.
Yes. Yes. The Bentley just transferred there. So he's pulling up in his Bentley to Ole Miss too to do his thing. And Ulysses Bentley is not Zach Evans, but he's not bad running back either. So he could cause some problems there. So we'll see. I really do Zach Evans. So I think he could be a very productive back on that team, along with, I think, what Jackson Dart is there. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. The wild thing to me is when you look at how Ole Miss offense runs, they have typically on a yearly basis, they give you somewhere around 400 to 500 rushing attempts. And it tends to be spread out. A couple of running backs, quarterback. The few different guys are touching the ball out of the backfield. It wouldn't surprise me. And Evans hasn't really had that kind of workload in his career. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't surprise me if he hit 200 carries this year. And if he does something like 200 carries and he gets a little action in the passing game, like, that would bump him up. Like, people would be able to see his long speed. I think he's a good build-up runner that can be a big play runner. He's got a good build. He's a good, solid, strong upper body, strong lower body too. And the tough thing is, I always wrestle with the off-the-field, the character stuff with guys. Like, these young men are put in the craziest positions at a young age. Like, I remember when I was a teenager, like, I was stupid. I did all sorts of stupid stuff. So if the football player is that good, teams were going to work with them and try to help these dudes get better and take care of their business off the field, because they want them to be on the field. So I don't worry too much about the off field stuff unless the red flags are crazy, unless it's constantly red flags, unless they're doing repeated stuff. So Evans, I wouldn't be too worried about. Like, Ole Miss is a good spot for him to go. I think the system, the culture, what they do there at the SEC, the expectation for him, I think will help, hopefully, keep him moving in the right direction. Bentley was a little concerning. When he transferred there too, I was like, dang. Like, I like Evans more than Bentley, but I'm like, that could take away and eat into workload. But then I looked at the way they broke down the touches. Like, all right, they could probably have two running backs with 150-plus carries, and it wouldn't surprise me. That was kind of my thing. I like Evans. I think he's an interesting back. The tough thing for me when I'm ranking and drafting is I know the window on these running backs is always so small. That and when you look at the league and you're looking at fantasy relevant guys, like, if I can get a quarterback or a wide receiver or a tight end that's going to give me 5 to 7 years, I sometimes think about that over running back, who might give me 3 to 4 really good ones, because I can trade for that or I can do other things to get it. So sometimes I get a little low on running backs because of that, and that's my mistake. I shouldn't do that, but I do that, and especially in Debbie.
Yeah.
And I think Jacob's right. He's got an interesting point that when we get to the QA portion of the show here in a few minutes, I want to talk about this because this could be interesting. But I want to at least hit on another couple guys. So let's get Tank Bigsby, Auburn. What do you think about him? What do you like about him? I know that I seem to be higher on him than both of you guys, so I guess I got to sell you here.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was just looking at that because I said, wow, Tank is next. But just because we just talked about Zach, and I could flip-flop that ranking, and I probably wouldn't be mad at it. I want to say Tank Bigsby, he was definitely higher for me, I want to say last year, coming into the season. I was really excited about Tank. I thought he was going to be just one of those guys that's going to just take it to the next level when it comes to just making me feel comfortable about picking him as far as a Devy prospect. But he just had a subpar season with Auburn. I don't know what really happened. He had the guy, what was his name, Jarquez Hunter, come in to steal some time. I think Tank was a little hurt. He may have been playing through injuries or whatever the case may be, but I still do like him. I think he's a really good back. He could be a really good back in the league. Not elite speed or anything like that, but he can definitely break away. He has toughness, run inside, outside. Another one that could be possibly a three-down back if he wanted to be, if he really works well, gets in the right system. Not really a pass catcher, but maybe he could be. Maybe he could be a solid one out of the backfield to be somewhat of a threat or whatever the case may be. But I think he's much more better of a runner, so he's more tough that way. I still like him, and I think he could be a really solid running back in the NFL. So I'm not mad at your ranking there, and I'm actually feeling like I'm maybe a little bit too low. I think I might have ranked him a little bit too lower than I probably should have.
For me, I get excited with the big back. So, like, when you hit 6 foot, 6'1", and you're 210-ish and up, if you've got some of the physical stuff and then you've got the size to go with it, I'm like, oh, you're on my radar, because – those are the types of guys that can handle the workload and handle 200 plus touches or 250 plus. I want a back who's going to be on the field, who's going to be getting a ton of action, especially when you get to the NFL. So a guy like Bigsby, up until this last year, like, I was completely on board and 100% sure that guy was going to be the next dude. And then the up and down, and like you said, with Hunter and everything, I'm like, I still like a lot of the physical traits. I still love the size. So I'm going to leave him where he's at and see what another year happens, how that works. So I think you're right. It could be either way, though. We look back in a few months or in a year, if either of these guys were flipped, I wouldn't be surprised either way if Evans, Bigsby, depending on how it goes. I hate to use this, but Tank plays extremely bad teams. Yeah, very true. And that's another tough thing is Auburn hasn't been good since what, Cam? It's been a long time since Auburn's had a good team. They've had good players, but not a full team. So that also can be tough when a defense can focus in and say, all right, so this is your elite player. We're going to take him out and we're going to, you know, neutralize him.
Yeah, that's a fair point, man. He hasn't been playing on really good Auburn teams. So, yeah, stack boxes and things like that could definitely stop you from having one of those kind of seasons that everybody's expecting you to have. It's hard to – and that's where I myself is getting better in my strategy and analysis, too, to hurt or not kind of drop somebody because of that. You got to look at that, too, because it's just at the end of the day, is he talented? Do you think if he's in the right situation, will he be productive? Yes. With that being said, he's still one of those top guys. So just like I said, I might have ranked him a little too low now that I'm looking at it. So it looks like we're coming to the end of the month anyway. So kind of update my rankings.
We go flip-flop guys all over the place.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to at least touch on one more guy. I want to touch on Jordan Addison, wide receiver from Pittsburgh. I will say, for anybody who's been watching, we do appreciate and love you guys hang out in the chat. We are going to talk some of these questions and talk some of this stuff here in a minute. But if you want to see the rest of our rankings, because we go a lot deeper than the top 10, so hit rotoheat.com, hit rankings, then hit Devy, and you find us over there. Jordan Addison, wide receiver, Pittsburgh. When you look at the 2023 wide receiver class, you know, this guy's, you've heard people bring him up as one of the top 3 to 5 guys in this class. What do you think about him? What do you like about him?
Of course, what I like about him is that he showed that he could be productive with being the focal point of the Pittsburgh offense. Of course, he had his guy Kenny Pickett slinging him the rock, but he was able to be very productive to go out to win the Kauf Award. I think that most prestigious awards in college football, other than, of course, like the Heisman and things like that, I always look forward to see which wide receiver they choose to be the top rated wide receiver in the country. I mean, he showed that he was worthy of that position, of that award, because of just the production he put up. He was able to put Pittsburgh on the map, at least for me. I wasn't really aware of that program and things like that. He made me want to watch that program along with him and Kenny Pickett. He's a very good route runner. He's a little bit smaller in size, but I think he's still one of those guys that just can be very productive. I don't want to get into the whole size, to be honest with you, because just we have productive players all that has all kinds of different sizes and shapes. But what I really do like about him a lot is that he can catch the ball. He's a touchdown guy. He can make big plays. And a really solid wide receiver that if you miss out on a couple of the top guys like the JSNs and Kayshawns, I wouldn't be mad that I was able to select him as well to be on my dynasty roster. I think he's going to be one of those solid maybe day two picks. If he could capitalize on another good season, he may could be first round, but I want to say at the most part, he should be day two. I mean, that's good draft capital, and he can get with a good squad where he can come right in and be productive.
Yeah, the interesting thing for me will be what happens with the rest of that Pitt offense.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with the quarterback? Does that affect the rest of this offense?
Didn't Slovis there?
Yeah, Slovis did transfer. I'm assuming he's going to be their starter. I liked Slovis when he got to USC. But USC done him wrong. It just hasn't gone well for him. So I'm like, all right, maybe going to Pitt will help, because look at what Kenny Pickett just did. And Kenny Pickett wasn't on people's radars. He had, you know, multiple seasons where he didn't look very good. And then all of a sudden this year he was on fire. So maybe that happens to Slovis. And if they does, then Addison will be just fine. And people will be picking him as one of the top receivers in the class and all that stuff. I think you're absolutely right. Addison is really good in so many different ways. When you look at the way they use him, you can play inside, he can play outside. I can see plenty of ways the NFL would use him. He could be the Debo role where you're using him in jet sweeps and you're giving him the ball out of the backfield and doing some things to manufacture touches to where he's close to the line of scrimmage and you just let him use his abilities. It wouldn't surprise me if he clocked in at like kind of high 4.4s, right around the 4.8, 4.9 mark. So he's not extremely fast, but he knows how to shake and get guys to just miss tackles and go. And he's played against good competition. It's not like he's playing against nobody. So I'm excited about him. I think you're absolutely right. I think this is a really good player to project long-term being successful at the next level. So if that's the case, then you got to get him on your Debbie roster. I think you're 100% right.
Yeah.
So that is it. For those of you that are listening to this in audio form, we do appreciate you guys. Make sure you hit the subscribe and the notification icon and drop a rating and review on Apple, Spotify. His name is @DesDeuce. I'm @RotoHeatBrad. You can find us over there. And we'll see you guys later.
Thanks for listening to The Devy Hour, a proud member of the Roto Heat family of podcasts. Find more information on Dynasty, Devy, Redraft, and more at rotoheat.com.